Therefore all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. We have summarized that golden rule of Matthew 7:12 by saying, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And it is a golden rule. It is a wonderful rule. Such a needed guideline in the lives of all of us. This morning, I want us to look at that golden rule from a different angle by somewhat turning it around. What would happen if we really accomplished what we say we want accomplished in that statement? What would life be like if literally everybody did toward you as you do toward them? Would you be pleased? Would you be satisfied with what is taking place? Sometimes it is helpful for us to turn things around a little bit and think about them. The lesson this morning is not intended to take you on a guilt trip. But it is intended to try to cause each one of us to think. To think about our personal relationships one with another and our relationship with God. What would happen if some things were turned around and we really received in the same way and the same proportion to the way in which we give? Think first with me about our relationship to God. Most of us are aware of that teaching in 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2 that we are to lay by and store upon the first day of the week as God has prospered us. What would happen if God turned that around? I'm thankful to be able to talk about giving all the time in our work here at a time when our giving is usually above our budget. Congregation as a whole is to be commended. And yet it has been my observation that there is a tendency when things are going so well for the congregation as a whole for some of us to overlook our own individual responsibilities and opportunities. What would happen this morning if God turned that passage around and he said, I'm going to let your income be determined by the way you lay by in store. And I'll have to admit that that idea is not completely foreign to the Bible. Did you notice the passage that Rod read? That we will reap what we sow. Do you remember where Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. And you may even be reminded of Malachi 3:10, where God said, bring your tithes into my storehouse, and I'll open up the windows of heaven and shower blessings on you so that you can't use them all. So the idea of turning this around is not completely foreign to the Bible. Just imagine for a moment that you lived under the patriarchal law. And before you do that, let me emphasize in our thinking that there is not one thing said in the New Testament that gives us a percentage or a specific amount that we are to give on the Lord's Day. And I'm thankful for that. I believe it gives us an opportunity to really have more meaning involved in the decision-making process than if God had specified. But just suppose that you were living under the patriarchal law. And in a few minutes, when you lay by in store on the first day of the week, God took what you give and he multiplied it by 10, and that was your income for a week. Or suppose you lived under the Mosaic law. And God took what you gave to him and gave back accordingly, and he multiplied it by 3. And that was your income for this week. Now, under the old law, there were different tithes and free will offerings and other things that totaled, it seems, about a third of one's prospering. And I'm persuaded that one of the reasons for that is that the Mosaic Law was a national law as well as a spiritual law, and took into consideration their government as well as their relationship to God. And there may be other factors, but about a third. Now, if God turned it around, remember, we don't have the percentage in the new law, but if we were living under one of those laws, if he took what you give weekly and multiplied it by 10, let's use that one. That seems to be more of a reasonable one in comparison, and it seems that even heathen nations use that tithing idea in many instances. Suppose he multiplied what you give to him weekly by 10. What kind of income would you have? What kind of income would I have? If God turned it around and he said, I'm going to prosper you, and even if he didn't choose that percentage, whatever reasonable percentage he used, and he said, I'm going to prosper you and I'm going to multiply your income so many times by what you give, what kind of income would we have? I think it's something to think about. And I would not limit this idea to just money. Suppose we had God blessing us according to the way we use our talents and our efforts and our time in his service. God literally took a look at what we do and made an analysis of what I do in his kingdom and for him and serving others, and that's one of the ways we serve him. And he analyzed that and put it into his computer and brought the answer out, and he blessed me according to the way that I serve him. What kind of blessings would I get? Now, God doesn't work it that way. In fact, it rains on the just and the unjust, and sometimes we certainly receive more than we would deserve. And we're thankful to God that he is gracious and merciful for us in that direction, but I believe it's worthwhile for us to stop and think. Just suppose that God turned this system around and he said, I'm going to bless you as you bless others. Here again, we're not entirely off base, even scripturally speaking, because he said he forgives us as we forgive others in Matthew 6. And so some of the blessings that we receive are based upon our service to him and our service to others. What if God turned it around? Switch your thinking for a moment now from the relationship to God to the home setting. What kind of home setting would you have if everybody else in the family treated you exactly like you treat them? Now, that's not the highest reason. That's not the best reason for doing what we do. Instead of doing things in the family with the idea that I'll treat you right if you treat me right, it's not an if, it's a because and in spite of. I ought to do the best I can do in my family because I'm what I am, not if somebody does something in my direction, and I ought to love my family members and do everything I can for them in spite of what happens in my direction. But just to help us think, suppose you receive the same number of kind words said to you that you say to your spouse or children. How many would you have said this week? And if you received gifts on special occasions, and maybe some that are not so special, in the same proportion that you give to your spouse and your children, how many would you receive? Suppose for the next 7 days that you had the same number of compliments given in your direction and encouraging words said to you that you normally say to the others in your family, how many compliments would you receive and how many kind words and encouraging words would be said? I think too many times we like to look at the family as a 50-50 relationship. I heard somebody say the other day, and I like this, that it's a 100-100 relationship. In other words, I ought to be looking for everything that I can do to be a good husband to my wife. And I'm thankful that if I did what she does, I would still, I think, be a pretty good husband. But I don't think that's that's really the real reason. I ought to do what I can do and be the best husband I can be because that's the right thing to do. That's the appropriate thing to do. But what kind of home setting would you have? Just stop and think about it for a moment. If everybody in the family treated you exactly like you treat them, would they put you first? Would they look for your needs first? You know, when you turn it around, it looks a little bit differently. And now, having looked at that, let's switch again and let's begin to think in terms of the church and the community, the people with whom we associate. Those of us that are gathered here this morning, in a sense, have a specific relationship with each other in the church. And you noticed in that passage that was read, verse 10 of Galatians 6, says there is a special relationship we have with the household of faith. Do good unto all men, but especially those who are the household of faith. Yes, we do have a special tie that binds us in Christ. And I don't think we have to apologize for that special tie. It doesn't relieve us of the opportunity to serve within the community and do good to all men, but there is a special relationship in Christ. Now, what kind of service would you have in your direction if everybody in the church treated you just like you treat them? And everybody in the community treated you just like you treat people in the community? If we really applied this golden rule, and instead of saying we want to do as we want people to do, we said they do as we do, what kind of life would you have? Consider friendliness for a moment. He that would have friends must show himself friendly, Proverbs 18. How many friends would you have if people were as friendly to you as you are to them? How many people would speak to you this morning before services and after services if they did exactly like you normally do? Sometimes there'll be a person visiting the services of the church and they'll go away and the word will come back, well, I did not like the church there because people weren't friendly. And I knew why people weren't friendly because I almost had to trip the person as the amen was said to speak to him myself. Didn't stay around long enough to speak to anybody. The people weren't friendly. They couldn't be. Let me suggest to you that you not wait for somebody to speak to you. I told someone the other day, just walk up and say, I'm Ben Flat. And they said, if I say that, I'll really have trouble. I said, I guess you will. We had a taxi driver in Carthage, Tennessee, that would wave at the bushes if something moved. If it was a dog, he still waved at it. He was known as one of the friendliest people in town, and he was appreciated, and when he had needs, his needs were met. Now, how friendly will people be with you after services today if they are exactly like you normally are? Something to think about. What about hospitality? Now, I'll have to admit to you that I enjoy being on the receiving end when it comes to hospitality. And if you don't want me to come and eat with you, you might not ought to ask. But I believe that there is so much value on the other end of it, too. Suppose you received hospitality in the same degree or to the same degree that you show hospitality. How much would be shown in your direction? I enjoy people coming into the home to eat. Judy came to the early service. She's not here this morning, so I can tell this, I did at the early service too. I found sometimes we have better meals when people come in. And I've also found that whatever we're eating, that I enjoy it more. I don't like to eat by myself. I enjoy some companionship or some friends being there. There's just something about hospitality. It's one of the great things. And the Bible points it out. Some have even entertained angels unawares by showing hospitality. But if you received what you give, what kind of hospitality would be shown in your direction? What about visits? Judgment scene includes visiting the sick, visiting those in prison. Visits are important. Pure religion is visiting, James 1. Suppose you go to the hospital this week and you receive the same number of visits and cards and calls that you've given in the last month. How many would you get? if there's a death in your family. And people come by the funeral home or by your house or come by to just say, I care, in the same proportion that you do, how many people would come by? Now, let me remind you, I said earlier, I didn't intend this as a guilt trip, but simply to help us to think. And I think we need to think. If we received visits and cards and calls in proportion to the way we do those things, how many would we receive? What about being involved in activities of service? Suppose someone in your family is getting married or having a new baby and there is a shower and people came and brought gifts in the same proportion to the way you've gone and taken gifts, how many would be present? Suppose there's sickness and there is the need for a meal to be brought into your house and it's brought in proportion to the way that you've been involved in helping others. You're sick and your yard needs mowing. And people come and mow your yard in the same way that you've gone to help others who had problems. How many would come? How much would be done? I remember when I was a boy, if a farmer was sick and couldn't plant his crops, we just had a working, and everybody in the community came in, and in one day we put his crops in the ground. And if it didn't get better when they grew up, one day we'd go in and till them, and one day we'd go in and harvest them. And that's the kind of attitude I think that's needed in any community, in the church. And again, I hope that we don't do things just to have things done in our direction. That's not the point. But I think it's worth our thinking what would happen on some of these occasions where we need others to show interest in us if they treated us just like we treat them. All of you young people who sell things at school always come by. And I'll tell you something, unless it's a chance that I think is gambling, I will probably buy what you're selling, because I remember when I had four teenagers and they sold everything that was sellable. I remember when a shower was given for our daughter when she got married and our son when he got married. And I remember the shower that was given for Judy before the birth of our first child. And let me tell you, it meant more than just an expression. We needed things then. I can't forget those things. In fact, I can honestly say to you, I could spend the rest of my life doing good things for people and never repay the good things that have been done in my direction. And it's not a 50-50 thing. I want to continue to emphasize that. But what I'm saying is, folks, here's what life is about. And we need to stop and think about this. What if other people treated us just like we treat them? And I think it's not out of order for us to even put this idea in the setting of salvation itself. I am well aware, as you are, that we cannot merit our salvation. You and I could live 100 years and work every day doing good works and not do enough good to merit salvation. It's by the grace of God. The opportunity is by the grace of God. We have to take advantage of it, but the opportunity of salvation is by the grace of God and His mercy. And if you and I make it to heaven, it will be in the concept of His mercy and His grace. And yet within those boundaries, 2 Corinthians 5:10 says we're going to be judged by the things done in the body, each one according to what he has done. And Revelation 20 pictures the judgment scene and says the books will be opened and we'll be judged out of the things that are written in the books according to his works. Now again, it's by the grace of God that these works are meaningful. Without God's grace, they wouldn't be meaningful. But he tells us to be careful to maintain them, Titus 2:8-14, and he has before ordained that we should walk in them, Ephesians 2:10, which is in the same setting that says we are saved by his grace. Now suppose God did just decide that he's going to add up what I've done and look at it and based on that determine where I spend it in eternity. Where would I go? Where would you go? I'm thankful for his grace that will make it possible for what I do and the mistakes that I make to be forgiven and to make it possible for me to be saved. But where would I spend eternity if God were to make that final decision based upon how I treat him and how I treat my fellow men, how I serve him and how I serve them? I think it will be helpful for us to turn this thing around and think about it a little bit. What if God and other people served us exactly like we serve them and did toward us exactly like we do toward them, what kind of life would each of us have? Even as we think about the Lord's invitation, this principle applies. Suppose that God blessed us in this life 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, and in the world to come, eternal life, based upon whether or not we obey His gospel. And He does. That's involved. But based upon the extent to which we really are sincere this morning about being Christians, being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, being restored if that's our need, or all of us being revived in the Lord's work, what if God just looked at that and made the final decision? What kind of decision would He make? God's going to do His part toward us, whatever we do. And there are going to be good people who will be there to serve us and help us, whatever we do. But folks, it will be more meaningful if we reach out to serve one another and serve God. And it's worthwhile for us to think, what if everybody did to me as I do to them? What if God blessed me according to the way I serve Him? Think about that. And if your life is not as it ought to be and where it ought to be, come to Jesus as together we stand and sing.